Problem or solution? What do you want? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Problem or solution? What do you want? We all have that choice. We all have that choice. Do you want a medicine that gives you a cure? Or do you want a medicine that merely abates the problem so that you can live with it? Well, both aspects are quite important. They're quite important depending upon what you want out of life. What each one of us wants out of life is very evident by the life that we're living. If we're living a life that's filled with peace and love and joy and harmony and right action and truth and wholeness and so forth, then we are living a life of solutions. We are living a life filled with solutions, filled with the final result, filled with that which brings us the joy, the peace, the love, the goodness that we want in our life. However, much of life is planned and programmed on the problem aspect. We like to tell the problems. We like to reveal the problem. If you don't know the problem, how can you come up with the solution? I repeat that. If you don't know the problem, how can you come up with the solution? This is what we all have been taught to think all of our lives. If we don't know the problem, how can we come up with a solution? If you don't tell the doctor the problem, how can the doctor come up with the solution? If you don't tell yourself the problem, how can you come up with the solution? Well, you never will come up with the solution so long as you dwell on the problem. You go to the doctor and you tell the doctor about your problems, and the doctor says, well, okay, this is how we've handled it, and this is how we have been able to do this. So, we will do this. Now, this is not a cure. This is just something that's going to abate it for a while. For we are really not interested in curing things. We're not interested in finding why they happened or what to do about them. But we're merely interested in taking that problem and making it something you can live with. But now you say, that's okay, but that's not really the way. That's true. That's not really the way. Are you interested in the problems or the solution? You see, we concentrate so often. We dedicate our thought so often. We give our thinking so strongly, so powerfully, so greatly to the problems that we really never think much about the solution. Now, if you have a cold, that's a problem. What's the solution of a cold? No cold. Well, that's a simple response, but is that really right? No cold is the solution to the thing? No cold at all? Is that the thing? Well, is it? Think about it. When you have no cold, you are in good health. When you have a cold, you are not in good health. Now, the solution is to have good health. Is that right or is that not right? The solution is to have good health. The solution for any problem is to have the problem no longer be there, is to dwell on the wholeness of whatever it is you're thinking about, whether it's your body, mind, or spirit, whatever it is you're thinking about. How do you achieve a solution? Well, you achieve a solution by concentrating on the solution. You achieve a problem by concentrating on the problem. The more you concentrate on the problem, the more in-depth you go into the problem, the more possibilities and probabilities and problems that you see you have. When you say, I am whole and perfect, you are concentrating on a solution. I'm whole and perfect. You're concentrating on a solution. Now, you may not have the solution evident in your experience at the moment. You may not experience a whole and perfect body or a whole and perfect mind or a whole and perfect world or a whole and perfect experiences, anything that you're after. But the whole and perfect is what you're after. It's what you want to have. Now, can you remember what it was like to be whole and perfect? Can you remember what it was like to have everything in divine order? Can you remember what it was like to experience the right action that you think is so important right now? And the answer is no. You cannot remember what it was like. Because when you were experiencing wholeness and perfection, right action and peace and truth, you were not thinking of that. You were living it. You were not thinking of it as something not present in your consciousness, but you were thinking of it as being your being. When you were experiencing wholeness of body, your body was thinking of a properly functioning body in its ideal way, and you don't even think about it. You just are it. And when you think of a problem, then you think of the problem and you think how terrible it is and how ugly it is and how it hurts and how it's not what you want, and it is your reality. When we let go and let the divine in us reveal to us who we really are, then all the problems fade away into their nothingness, and all the solutions are in their reality, and we do not even think about them. We do not even think about how it is not having a cold. We do not even think about how it is having a cold. If we think about having a cold, we'll have one. If we think about not having a cold, we'll have one. Because we're trying to think of what it's like not to have a cold. And of course, you have to be thinking of a cold at the time you're thinking of what it's like not having a cold. Now this sounds like a bit of syllogism, didactic realism that goes off into the judgmental thinking aspect of life. And in a way it is. In a way it is. When you are blind or ignorant or unaware, and of course unaware is a more harmonious word here, when you are unaware of your body is demonstrating health. When you are aware of your body, it is demonstrating a lack of whatever it is that you are aware of. Now, if you want to be aware of your perfect health, then you go right ahead. But you want to live your perfect health. You want to be unaware that you are aware of your perfect health. You want to be so unaware, so open and receptive to living who and what you are, that you don't even think about it. You don't even think about it. It's like learning a language. When you're learning a language, you think about learning a language is a problem for you. You're giving it all your attention. You're giving it all of your awareness. And you're thinking about the grammar. And you're thinking about learning new words. And you're thinking about vocabulary. It's fun. And it's dynamic. And it's grand. And so forth. And you keep comparing it to the language you're familiar with. And the new language you're comparing to the language you're familiar with is a long time in coming. But when you just immerse yourself, as they say, the immersion techniques of learning a language. When you immerse yourself in the language, in the words, in the grammar, in the sayings, not trying to learn them, just immerse yourself in them. So you are one as them. And before you know it, you're speaking the language quite well. And you're speaking it harmoniously, and you're speaking it joyously. And before you know it, you don't even know there was a time when you didn't speak it. You just are it. And you are it so lovingly. Oh, yes, of course, you can always improve yourself. You can always become more beautiful in vocabulary and grammar and in the utilization of the language. But how much time do you give to your own language that's native to you? How well do you say sentences in the language that's just native to you? Very, very, very well. You communicate extremely well exactly what you want to get across in the language, even if you are not aware of it sometimes. And occasionally, if you let go and not think about it, you'll begin to use words that you never thought you knew. You'll begin to use words that are in the back of your mind, words that you'd heard sometime, words that are part of you, and you never realized it. Well, that's letting the solution of the language be for you. Oftentimes, as I was learning a language, I'd make up words that said what I wanted to say. And I think of one thing. Rosalie in Auburn is working on learning English, and Rosalie and I oftentimes speak together. And she has many problems that face her, and she's working on her lessons, and she's working on understanding who she is. But when Rosalie wants to, she communicates with me, and I don't even know that she's not communicating with me. She communicates with me so perfectly and so beautifully, and I with her, and we understand each other very well, and we communicate very well, and we don't even try. And then we get somebody else in there who knows the language, and they start interpreting for us and translating for us, and we no longer look at each other and speak to each other, but we're looking at the translator. And we're looking at the person who's translating for us, and we lose the personal oneness that we have in our conversation. Oh, yes. It is a very challenging thing to do something like that, because you put all of your attention on understanding what the other person is saying. You put all of your attention on being aware of what the other person wants to get across, and you listen. You are the solution. You're not making a problem out of it. You're making a solution out of it. And as you make a solution out of it, your mind all of a sudden snaps and says, ah, yes, I understand. Yes. Mm-hmm. And to respond to that, I would say this, and so forth. And so you just do it. Now, true, you're not the most loquacious being in a foreign language, but you are a start. And you can be understood, and you can communicate. It's just like little children in the play box, and they're playing together, and they speak different languages, and they communicate very well because they communicate with their heart. They communicate with their actions. They communicate with their gestures and with their hand movements and with their thoughts. Just like I think, Rex, come walk with me. And I'm walking on the path, and Rex is nowhere to be seen. And a moment later, he's walking right beside me. Now, our communication of our thought goes through the universal and is aware. And I could be speaking to other people through the universal, and they would be aware. And the problems would cease to be, and the solutions would be all around me. They would be who I am, and they would be what I am, and they would be all that I am. This is the glory. This is the joy and the fantastic quality of being what we are. Do we concentrate on the problems or the solutions? Do you want the solutions in your life, and the solutions are you're unaware of them? The problems, you are aware of them, and they become more problematic. The solutions, you're unaware of them, and they multiply. You are the master. What do you want? What is important to you? What would you like to have more than anything else in the world? A life filled with solutions. A life filled with every dream you have manifest right now. And you don't even know that it's manifest because it is part of you. It is part of you. We can make the problems part of us. And as we make the problems part of us, we don't really like what we do. But we can make the solutions our being all the time. And it's pretty wonderful. That's the way I like to live. I live in a world of solutions, a world that has no problems. And I love it very, very much. Because I like me. I like me. I like me.